Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, we wanted to look at online disinformation and managing your reputation online. So I've got two experts of the field to discuss it with me here in studio. I'm delighted to be joined by Nicola Byrne from RiskEye. Nicola, you're welcome.
Thanks, Bobby.
And an old friend of the show, Stephen O'Leary, from the online monitoring business. And he's the founder of Olitico. You're welcome again, Stephen.
Thanks, Bobby.
Now, maybe we might start with you, Stephen. When we talk about one's reputation, and how one's reputation can either be enhanced or damaged by online. Now, and I know it's probably different between something that you create yourself versus something that others create. So maybe just can we have a kind of a holistic look at it first, and then we'll get down into the detail.
Yeah, so
in terms of the issue.
Absolutely. So, risk reputation and risk management around one's reputation, I guess, is an increasingly common thing now for companies and individuals to want to do. And in Olitico, we see this kind of coming through in kind of two main ways. So it's the idea of owned and earned. So owned is the idea of the platforms that you own yourself. So imagine your own X account, your own LinkedIn account, your own whatever the social network might be. And then earned is when people are talking about you.
Okay.
So it's other people discussing it. And those are the two key areas that Olitico clients are really interested in. And the owned is quite often a security piece. So your password strong? Has someone hacked your account? Has something suddenly started coming out from your own account that doesn't look like it should have come from your own account? And the earned is much broader. Has something happened? Is there a rumor? Is there a piece of misinformation or disinformation? Is something beginning to bubble online that poses a risk to your reputation?
Okay. And in the second case, they're earned. People talking about you, you may not even know that there's a problem until it hits that point and goes viral or whatever.
Yeah, and I can give you a practical example.
Yeah.
So the majority of the clients that we work with who would have a focus on this are based in the US. And so a large multinational we work with on a global basis, we track on a daily basis the kind of things that are being said about the products and services they provide. And yesterday, there was a mention of one of their products, they have a large range of them, on Reddit. And it was a conspiracy. And the conspiracy was that they had paid a bribe to another company not to include a piece of technology in their product. And so what we were able to do was, by finding the mention of the product, we could flag it to the client early, and the client then could decide what they were going to do in terms of a next step.
Okay. Nicola Byrne, your business RiskEye, what do you do and how do you protect people's reputations online?
Okay, so we are online reputation security, which is in the family of cybersecurity. So cybersecurity and IT people defend your network from attack. So they protect your passwords and they do everything in their power to stop people getting in and stealing your data so they can extract value from it. We stand back to back and look outwards.
Right.
So we look at every single platform in the world and we look at what people are doing and what the behaviour is and what the words mean. So what words, videos and pictures mean, what the risk is within them. And then we basically work to make sure there's nothing online that's going to damage you or your business. So what's different to us into terms of we're not monitoring so that we can help brands improve their product offering and tell us what consumers are thinking. We actually don't care. What we're interested in is how you are protected. So if it's extortion, if it's misinformation, if it's disinformation, if it's multi-platform, if it's cyber criminals hopping from one platform to the other and extorting you, if it's just a straightforward customer that's going to now become an avalanche and an attack, well, then I'm interested. So,
but are you helping me as a business or as an individual before the event happens?
Yes.
Not after it happens?
No, only after and before and during.
So either.
So it's prevent, protect, fix.
Okay.
So let me give you an example of what that looks like. We scan Facebook and see has anybody just set up your company as a profile, because we know that once they get a company profile and use your logo on Facebook, that behind that they're in WhatsApp, they're in Instagram threads, they're in Instagram, they're in Messenger, and we know that they, Facebook have given them a layer of authority already by just letting them on Facebook with their brand. And you've automatically, unknowns to yourself now, exposed all your customers to contacts from these criminals.
Yeah.
Because what's going to happen next is they will then wait for you to run a genuine competition, and then they, on their branded, your page, start telling your customers, hey, you've won a prize. Then give it your credit card and we'll give you your prize so we can lodge it in your bank account. And you'd be surprised how many people actually do
that.
So it's fascinating work.
It's terrifying at one level to think that if somebody can masquerade as you or your business by gaining the access to... WhatsApp's a good example, Stephen, where... You know, if you're in multiple WhatsApp groups and somebody then becomes you, they can find out quite a lot about you very quickly and then go on and do all sorts of things.
They can. And I think one of the key things for listeners to understand is the difference between private and public networks. So the key thing with WhatsApp is that it's a messenger network. And so the messages are sent directly. It's encrypted. It's very difficult. In fact, no one can monitor WhatsApp as a platform. So you don't have the ability to go in and see private groups that exist as a third party.
Right.
But where the opportunity exists, as Nicola was talking about, is in that public sphere. So it's when the signal can often be the setting up of the Facebook page. And then that can lead you to these other places where the information happens. The one thing I'd say in terms of, again, if there's fears or worries from listeners, is the networks themselves can be very responsive to reports of misinformation, disinformation, or accounts that are masquerading as, are purporting to be you. So there are routes that you can take in terms of reporting what you see. People shouldn't feel helpless if this occurs or they see it happening online.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm going to disagree with him.
Okay, well, let's hear your disagreement.
So, well, I'll give you a simple example. So we work for insurers. So we actually work for an insurer in the UK. We protect a broker. The broker was attacked, a relationship happened in the office, it's gone sour, the husband of the wife involved has taken to every single public network available to them. This company happened to be insured by us, which is very handy. We come to work and we mitigate. We now have the bad actor barred off LinkedIn, but they did take the route Stephen suggested, which is just notify LinkedIn, it'll all magically disappear.
It didn't.
No, it doesn't. And unfortunately, in a couple of billion pounds of data in, you know, or data points coming through, you kind of need a professional, because that's just LinkedIn. There's a different set of rules on X, a different set of rules on WhatsApp, a different set of rules on every network. So you have to know the laws, the regulations and the rules.
And at a practical level, Nicola, is it not very difficult for companies such as LinkedIn, Google, Meta,
absolutely,
to deal with individual outbreaks such as this?
Well, that's what's so special about what we've done here. So we've gone to the insurers and we've basically said, look, this is really complex because there's roadways, as in platforms and networks, and this is superhighway. And we're all 5 billion of us on this superhighway. And it is not the platform's sole responsibility to police that. And it's very, very, very difficult for the platforms. Exactly as you say, in a trillion data points, how would they know that one was there? And some of the harm is happening very intimate. So you're not going to tell somebody you've been sextorted.
Yeah.
You know? And so how do you breach that gap? So the insurers have now worked out, you come to us and we act as the mediator. So we give you legal advice. We give you legal assistance. We do the legal letter to the platform to remove the defence of ignorance. We then mitigate for you. And then we protect you and lock down your systems again. And then we go one step further and we go to the platforms and go, that's a bad actor there. The accounts are all blocked from the public, but he's still there. We can still see him and you need to stop that bad actor. And that's where we can be of use to the platform.
Okay.
So it's not just their fault.
Okay. And what about the sort of societal shame that's out there of being scammed, of being hacked? You know, people will have paid lots of money to extortionists, to fraudsters, to blackmailers, and we never hear anything about it because they don't want to be put. And not only is there a sort of stigma around it, but the collateral damage of your list of clients, you know, in other words, if you speak up about it, you could potentially make it worse.
You could. And it, like, it's a very difficult situation to empathize with unless you've directly experienced it. You can sympathize, right? And you can be aware of large swathes of cases where it's occurred. But really, until you're in the situation and in the moment, it's very hard to imagine what it might be like. Again, like, so organizations exist, right? There are people you can go to for support and get help. I think the one thing is that it's key if you find yourself in a situation like this that you do seek help.
Yeah.
Whether that's talking to Nicola, whether that is going to the Gardaí, whatever your next step is, keeping it and trying to deal with it yourself is a massive burden and can put you under huge strain. So whatever shame you might feel or whatever worries or concerns you might have, as soon as you talk to someone else, it starts to be easier.
What do you think about that, Nicola? Well, are people still, as you said...
It's worse than this, Bobby. And I hate to be a drama queen on this subject, but that's all fine when you're a rational adult and you have the tools in your bag as an adult to navigate the shame. But when you're a 14-year-old boy, you've gone to TikTok, you thought you met a 14-year-old girl, you move to Snapchat, you get intimate for 3 months, you send her a picture, she sends you a pair of whatever, you send back a photo of whatever, and then suddenly they're on Instagram and we are their helpline.
Yeah.
So we get a phone call to say, how do we deal with this? Well, what we've put in place is we have put in place a system. This goes to the guards. This goes to the platform. This goes to the child. This goes to the child's parents.
Okay.
There's an extensive way of covering it. So.
Okay, well, we'll have to leave it there. And again, I think that the overriding advice is you don't put anything intimate up online.
Absolutely.
It's as simple as that.
And you have to educate the children.
Yeah.
It's not a zero-sum game.
All right. Well, look, thanks for joining us. It's a fascinating subject and one which everybody needs to be aware of. Thanks to my guests, Stephen O'Leary from Politico and Nicola Byrne from RiskGuide.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.